The topic of high school can be quite daunting. Can I homeschool all the way through? How do I do it? And then what about after high school? Will I be qualified to do what I want to do next? Will the college of my choice accept my work? This documentary explores these questions. We'll hear from a variety of people, homeschooling parents and homeschool grads. We'll also hear from Wisdom Homeschooling facilitators. These certified teachers, who also homeschool their own children, are qualified specialists who have helped our homeschoolers chart their course through high school, into college, and the workplace. As the decision to homeschool through high school approaches, some of us start to panic. One of our facilitators, also a homeschooling mother, knows what panic is all about. Michelle Barter is an experienced homeschooler, having homeschooled her large family. She's an expert, right? But when decision time for her eldest daughter drew near, Michelle picked up a thesaurus and looked up the word panic. And what did she find?
So I looked up in the thesaurus, the following descriptive words describe panic: fright, terror, fear, dread, alarm, horror, loss, lose your nerve, lose control of yourself, go to pieces, get flustered, throw somebody else into disarray.
Her husband Mike felt it too.
Stress.
And parents aren't the only ones who feel all those emotions. A high school student goes through it all, too. And with the right perspective, we'll get through it.
When we panic, though, we exclude God from our picture and we come face to face with our own inadequacies. When we panic, we get stressed and our vision is blurred and we can't recognize how God fits into all of this picture.
We want, as parents, we want our children to be successful. We want ourselves to be successful as home educators. But we would like the success on our terms.
Just remember your why. Why are you homeschooling? And revisit that vision. And accept where you're at. So accept what you've done and work from there. And recognize what you've accomplished. Whether it's good character or morals intact or family relationships and a faith that's alive. And then take action. Don't just focus on the problem, but focus on the solution. So set your own goals. Make your own schedule. Establish a purpose and you'll have a motivation to do what you need to do. Become a student of your child's talents. Become a student of your own strengths if you're a student. And begin to move in that direction. And educate yourself about options. And that's why you're here tonight, to learn about what you can do to prepare for high school and to prepare for post-secondary.
I think as Christians and homeschooling parents, we are called not so much to be successful, but to be faithful and leave the success up to God. If the Lord calls you to it, He will lead you through it.
Facilitator Randy Kopp challenges us to redefine our view of high school.
For most people in Alberta and in Canada, when we speak of a high school education, we generally mean finishing grade 12 in high school and obtaining a diploma that verifies having earned 100 credits. To me personally, this view is limited.
Facilitator John Miller is a homeschooling father of seven, six of whom have graduated. John has reflected a lot about how we should be the person we are created to be.
I see high school and beyond education preparing and providing the tools for an individual to make his mark in the world. In other words, to be the person he was created to be and to do the things he was born to do. His education is more a byproduct of a wholesome, holy family life than any set curriculum or fast-track program.
John explores a number of situations which homeschoolers face.
We have a child that is quite gifted in an area. Maybe we have a Schroeder on our hands who is constantly playing his baby grand, or at least carrying it in his back pocket.
Dissuaded from the life of a musician, perhaps in 30 years our Schroeder, the piano virtuoso, will be working as an accountant, when perhaps he should have pursued piano all along and just hired a good accountant. We want to pursue the areas in which we are gifted.
However, Sometimes we overlook the gift of an individual. Thoroughly convinced that a child must be able to read, write, and do math at a set level by a certain age for him to have any self-worth and to make his mark in the world, prompted by a good degree of impatience, we regularly, in a way of speaking, slap the child in the face and tell him to put away his piano and spend more time at the books. After many cold showers and other methods of encouragement, the child improves in his language arts and math skills, and he may even become quite proficient. However, in the process, Schroeder trades in his baby grand for a pair of specs and a blanket and becomes a Linus. Or he trades in his piano for an attitude of arrogance and superiority and begins to act and look more like Lucy. Now, I don't have anything against Linus and Lucy, but in this situation, did Schroeder become the person he was created to be, and will he do what he was born to do? There was a Jewish boy who had gone down to Jerusalem with his parents to celebrate one of their important feasts.
Eminently capable by age 12, Jesus waited until he was 30.
Think of the patience waiting for 18 years to make his mark on the world when he knew he was very capable since the age of 12. At the age of 30, he decided to leave home, and in 3 years, he made quite a splash. Just maybe, we shouldn't be so anxious to have our students to leave home early just because they are capable. Some patience might be in order, and more obedience to what God has planned for us might be very fruitful.
Paul Vandenbosch just left a career as manager of Home Depot to become a Wisdom Homeschooling facilitator. So his perspective of what happens to young people as they get out into the workforce is certainly firsthand. Paul is going to talk about important real-life skills for homeschool grads.
So my career was in business. I spent over 12 years in retail, the last 8 of it with Home Depot, and the last 2 years as the store manager down in Red Deer, where my family and I still live. During that time, I interviewed over 2,000 people. 2,000 people who all wanted me to give them a job. And most of them, I didn't hire. Some got a job, but I didn't ask any of them how well they had done in school or what they knew in any school subject, because I didn't care. What I wanted to know was, were they willing? Were they willing to work? Were they willing to learn? And since it was retail, were they willing to serve customers? I wanted to know some other things too, and all of those could be called real life skills. I wanted to know, will this person show up on time? Does this person know how to take instruction? Will this person get things done? Those are the skills that I cared about. Alberta is booming. Everybody has a now hiring sign up. It will be tempting for all of us, our children especially, to just jump from one job to another. But when we jump from one job to another new job, are we not just investing in a get-rich-quick scheme? One that's going to backfire? How long will the boom last? Well, we know it won't last. So what we need to do is teach our children skills, real-life skills that will last. Skills that will serve them for a lifetime. Now, actually, I would add beyond a lifetime, because I do believe that we are parents for eternity. We can choose which real-life skills to teach to our children right now. And we do need to teach them right now. And we do need to model them now as well. Because our children don't always listen to what we say, but they're always watching us. Many of you as students here are maybe entering the workplace for the first time. You don't have a lot of experience. What do you say about yourself? Well, you tell them what kind of person you are. And you can say that by volunteer work you've done, by the school work you've done, by the things, the clubs you've been involved in, by the hobbies and activities that you're involved in.
Many homeschoolers see the value of achieving a trade. Facilitator Louis Sane formerly worked with Parks Canada, and then as an industrial arts teacher. Here he shows us how to get into the trades.
Talk a little bit about getting into the trades, educational requirements for those of you who want to get into the trades. There is some government assistance available, and maybe some of the pros and cons of working or considering a career in the trades. Maybe one of the first things that you should do if you're considering getting into the trades is try to get some information about them. And an excellent source for that is a website. It's an Alberta government website. It's tradesecrets.gov.ab.ca.
That address again, tradesecrets.gov.ab.ca.
and it gives all the educational requirements that are necessary for a student to get into the trades. Now, these educational requirements are listed as they're required of students who go to school but in the public school system. In other words, you might need Math 20, you might need English 30 and Science 20, whatever those specifications are.
Louis recommends one useful approach. If you haven't gone the high school credit route, consider taking the entrance exam for your chosen trade.
The easiest way for you, or for your students, is to pass that entrance exam. It gives you a sample that you can go to, a link. You just click on that link and it'll take you to a sample test. It'll provide you with a link to the Learning Resources Center or other materials that can be used for you to study for that test. Once you feel you can get 70% of the questions right on that test, you go down to the Alberta Apprenticeship and Industry Training and you sign up to write the exam. You can write it as often as once a month or however often it's offered, and it's free. Once you get a 70% mark, you qualify to get into a training program.
Louis says in order to discern a calling in a particular trade, speak to someone in the trade. There's no substitute for firsthand information.
Take a look at all the different opportunities you might have within the family or friends or business associates. Those contacts can be very valuable. It gives you a huge opportunity where others don't. So take advantage of those opportunities if you can. And, you know, all kinds of different work experience, each one of those contributes to what you can do, how you can talk to people, get out there so that you can make contact with people.
But how do I pay for necessary schooling in the trades? There are financial programs to help.
There's money available for assistance for students. The federal government offers something like a $1,000 scholarship for each year that you're in your training program. The provincial government also gives a grant for each year that's successfully completed, $500 for the first, $300 for the second, and $200 for the last.
Facilitator Mark Meeks has looked into the whole area of private vocational institutions. He describes McAmey College as an example. His homeschool daughter chose to go there after high school.
Yes, I'm going to be speaking on small private vocational institutions. Now, some familiar names of these colleges that you may have come across: the Academy of Learning, a CDI College, a Reeves College, but of course there's 140 of them, so I'm not going to mention them all. If you want to find more information about these colleges, you can go to www.alis.gov.ab.ca/edinfo. Okay, the spotlight was on this particular college in Edmonton called McAmey College. It specializes in massage therapy.
Mark and his daughter looked into the basic question of how to get into McAmey.
It's interesting. Their criteria for acceptance is, there are four things. Level of maturity. Paul kind of alluded to this before. Work experience, related fields, and then an interview. But the top two criteria are attitude / commitment and maturity. The reason this is, it's based on the belief that anybody can be taught given their desire and self-discipline. I was surprised that aptitude was not the top criteria. The college in the past has reported a 99% placement rate in an industry with a 30% placement rate.
The world is changing. The job market is changing. Along the way, if you discover that you need a high school course, you can always get it at a college through academic upgrading. Facilitator Bill Gurney has taught at such a college and tells us more.
Academic upgrading is just another choice that you have. What it is it's grade 12 completion at college. It's important to note that the grade 12 completion is an equivalency. It's not an Alberta diploma. There's two positive features to academic upgrading that I've seen. You could complete your homeschooling diploma at home using your own curriculum and doing things the way that you want to do them at home without getting into the system at home and trying to fulfill Alberta learning requirements and so on. The other positive feature of academic upgrading is that if you are going to go on to college or university, it might give you a bit of a smoother transition. Academic upgrading has a couple of features that you might not find as positive. The first one is you might need to plan to spend a little bit of extra time in your high school completion process. Although, having said that, you can complete a Math 30 pure course in 4 months. There is a financial cost. You've got to be 18 years of age, but they do make exceptions.
There are two ways to gain admission into academic upgrading.
Admission into academic upgrading can be accomplished in one of two ways. Either with Alberta transcript marks, which we can do through Wisdom for you or work with you to help you do that, or you can write a placement test at the college that you choose to enter.
We would like to bring a new perspective to this documentary. We'll hear from the Schramm family, Jim, Charlene, and Kelly. Then there's Stefan Bacole, and Natasha and Terry Yaseko. Each of these families has approached high school from their own unique angle. Jim Schramm, the father.
We have three children. Kelly's here. She's in grade 12. We have two others. Cassia, she graduated 2 years ago. And Daniel, who is 11 years old.
Charlene Schramm, the mom.
When our girls were younger and before Daniel made the scene and we were homeschooling, I denied that high school was ever going to happen. So I didn't do a lot of planning coming into it. And when panic would kind of rise, I would just think, well, I'm not there yet, so don't worry too much about it. What was interesting is that it just unfolds, and it did for us at any rate. So two factors sort of led the way we decided to do homeschool. Or high school, we had always sort of chosen our own curriculum. We never chose Alberta Diploma or Alberta Ed stuff. And it seemed inconsistent to suddenly switch gears in high school. So with prayer and with encouragement from our facilitator and from Wisdom, when I felt like we weren't doing enough, I made them do math. Well, I made Cass do math. Kelly wouldn't do it. Luckily, the Wisdom Online courses came in just at a prime age for our girls, and our older girl took the Great Books course, and I'd always kind of gone to all the classical ed presentations that Ken and Marlene ever gave, and was really attracted to those courses, but they scared me, and I thought I didn't know enough, so when the Wisdom stuff came online, Cass joined it, and our whole family got hooked, like our whole family, just it opened up a whole new realm for us. And it was right in time because that's basically how we chose to do high school, was more of a classical approach.
Kelly Schramm is in grade 12.
I think when I was in grade 10, I guess, that I did one course and kind of got hooked. I did one that year and seven the next year, and I'm doing as many as possible this year.
Kelly has been accepted as a student at a classical university in California, Thomas Aquinas College.
Basically, the one thing that terrified me was that you have to write the SATs to get into Thomas Aquinas, and I had never taken any high school math. My last math program, I think, was grade 9 level. Mom says when she felt like we weren't doing enough, she made us do math, but obviously I didn't do it, so now that was my payback. This last 4 months, I've been doing grade 10 to 12 math, and I wrote the SATs on the 27th.
Cassia, the Schramm's older daughter, chose a different route.
Cass has chosen to go to Rosebud School of the Performing Arts, and she needed a high school transcript. So we did get a hold of the Wisdom office, and they were great. They helped us with a parent-generated transcript and a certificate of completion from Wisdom. And so both girls used that as their transcripts for both colleges.
The Bacole family is represented by Stefan. He finished high school at home and is now at Bible College.
For me, my purpose of education wasn't so that I could really get somewhere, achieve something. It was more about really learning for the sake of learning. Through my high school experience, I was more taught how to think, the tools for reasoning, the tools for life that I'll be needing later, is what I was after. I really believe that I'm in a much better spot than I ever could be through this. God, he doesn't call the qualified. More the way that he operates is that he qualifies the called. I kind of think that this is what home education is about. It's basically just like following God's will and giving yourselves the tools.
Natasha Yatseko is 20 years old. She enriched her homeschool experience traveling to Trinidad and Nicaragua with Samaritan's Purse. She even spent some time with a mission group in the Gaza Strip. She now works at the Wisdom office.
I went through high school. It just came so naturally. We just kept on doing pretty much what we had been doing the whole time. I did a lot of reading and writing and real life experiences. I entered writing contests and I had a part-time job and I traveled and a lot of things like that. And through the whole time, I was very much involved in my church and in my community doing volunteer work. I know that being homeschooled really allowed me the opportunity to do all that, but also to spend time with my family and to develop the relationships with them. I am extremely close to all three of my sisters. I never had the desire to go to college or university right after I graduated. I mean, I thought about it and I proved to people that I'm a success. Am I successful when I am doing what I want to do and enjoying it?
Natasha's mother, Terry, comments on those years.
You really need to know what kind of child you have and where their heart's desire is. And it's not so much, I think John was the one that said, preparing them to do what they are to do in this life. And I've got no doubt in my mind that any of my children will accomplish what God wants them to accomplish. God has given me what I've needed to accomplish what I've needed to do. Anyway, I expect he will do the same. If they need to do some upgrading or do some other stuff, they'll do it. I know that they're developing the character and the morals that they need to stand firm in a world that is not firm.
The grads and their parents fielded a variety of questions.
You had said in grade 10 you went from one course to the next year seven courses. In retrospect, what was the spark that made you all of a sudden click in? Was it an issue of maturity? Was it just all of a sudden you found your passion? What was it that made you kind of go that way?
As soon as I began the Intro Great Books course, actually, is what I started with. And I loved it. Like, I loved every minute of it. I couldn't get enough, and I was so sad when it was done. And I was exhausted. And for me, I didn't really start reading anything until I was probably about 13. I hated literature. It was a huge step for me to go from not reading at all to reading something like the Iliad in a week or 2 weeks. Like, the spark was there, but it just took me a little while to get up the guts to take on so much work.
Most of the homeschooling moments happen in the car, in the barn, and around the kitchen table. And the discussions that happened around our kitchen table after our older daughter took the first Great Books course changed us. So it was maturity for all of us. And suddenly we had a shared passion and a shared sort of vision. Like, I suddenly understood what they meant by the Trivium. And I was madly yapping to anybody who would listen about, you know, they're just grammatical learners. And then you can't shove stuff in them and they won't regurgitate it anymore. And now they're in their logical stage, and you know, because they're arguing with you. Blah, 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 blah. It was like it all clicked for me. And I don't think she had a choice but to be passionate about it. So I think we all matured, but it just suddenly all clicked. Oh, I get why we've been doing this all this time.
I don't think if I would have started sooner, it would have had the same effect. Like, I think I had the prime age for myself as well.
You were saying that all of a sudden you have to catch up on everything you missed in order to get in college. And I'd read that kids who need to learn that math can do it, you know, in a short period of time, and my daughter struggles with math. Do you find it overwhelming, or do you wish you had started sooner, or do you think it's good that you're doing it now?
I truly don't believe that if I had been doing high school math consistently, as you're supposed to, that I would have been able to give so much of my mind to the wisdom courses. And so I don't think I would be pursuing the same thing I am now. So I wouldn't change anything that I did.
Kelly would not have gotten that spark if we had put her into math right off the bat, put it that way. And it was like Kelly's passion that started her into the great books and the Latin, and she just loves that stuff. So that's how her desire to go to Thomas Aquinas arose, and then she needed math for the SATs to get into the college. And then she got into Euclid on the ancient math too, and she's starting to like that too, so from a different level, I guess.
My relationship with Kelly would have been damaged if I would have kept fighting with her. And I like our relationship now.
Then we asked for some last thoughts from these homeschool grads. What are they doing now?
what has been the most significant part of their education.
Like, I am so grateful for my parents and, like, taking that huge step and fighting with me all those years to, like, accept it. And honestly, it is, like, totally, like, I'm gonna say made my life.
And you don't want to lose that time with your family. And it's such a critical time in the student's life to just have that relationship with their parents where there's that open communication.
I think our teenagers need us even more than our little kids. And that's a time when all the talking and all the discussing, and that's when it all counts the most. And it's not easy.
I've been protected when I needed to be protected, and I've been able to stand alone when I've needed to stand alone. And I'm very grateful that we didn't do it different.
I love you and I'm doing the best I can here, but if I'm making the wrong choices, or if your dad and I are making the wrong choices, you guys are gonna have to find a way to fix it, and we'll help you.
We have lots of friends that have kids the same age as our kids that are in school system, and I hear so often my kids won't talk to me. They never talk to me. And, you know, I sit there and I think, well, geez, I never get to say a word edgewise. They debate everything, and that spills right over into our kitchen table and everywhere we go in the car, and we discuss things. And it's just, you know what your kids are thinking, and they've got all this stuff that they need to talk about.
Joe Pollock is a former financial analyst. He taught high school physics and chemistry before becoming a facilitator with Wisdom. Joe addresses credentials for post-secondary entrance.
So somehow we have to be able to transition from whatever program you've been using in the past to be able to actually get the credentials so that they can move on to the institutional program of their choosing. We've started a little online group where we get together for chemistry, physics, and math. We're working through some common materials and basically providing a network of kids to be able to work together, and then once a week being able to get together online with myself as a tutor.
Joe encourages homeschooled students to actively pursue math and science, even if they seem difficult. He believes that homeschool grads should be prepared to work in science, medicine, and technology.
And I think we need to encourage our students, our own children, to challenge themselves and discipline themselves mentally and academically so that if they're capable of doing these things, the homeschooling community needs to provide engineers and doctors and scientists who are going to have the ethical and moral backbone to basically set things right in society. It's a shame, I think, that maybe more of our homeschooling students are maybe shying away from these courses that could lead to professions in those areas.
We asked Joe to contrast two approaches to preparing for science entrance exams, the Alberta programs of study and the popular Jay Weil program.
He's great at explaining the concepts, but his levels of questioning doesn't get into the mathematical application nearly as much as the Alberta program does. But I still would recommend Jay Weil as a resource to supplement, to go with these workbooks that we're using.
Classical education is becoming more and more popular with homeschoolers. Facilitator Ken Noster is enthusiastic about classical education. His oldest son, now in second year college, is obtaining his degree using this very method.
In a school, the teacher basically is set up as the person who has the knowledge and dispenses that knowledge to the students. That's the way the system works. In a classical education, the tutor does not have the knowledge, but wants the knowledge. And the best tutor is the greatest student, is the most inquiring student is the best tutor. And so the tutor, along with the students, if you will, are all looking to discover truth. But every time we discover truth more fully in our life, and that really should be the quest of our life, we come closer to understanding God. Classical education isn't so much about what you study, it's about how you study. The problem with our system is we think, 18, out the door. You know, 18 years really isn't enough to be able to get a good classical education and the credentials you need to go on to other study. So take the time you need. But 2 years after 18, between 18 and 20, you can learn a lot of science and math. But really, if that's the way you're going, you really should have been doing that in a rhetorical way much earlier.
As a student, you're able to take charge of your own educational path. The choices you make as you chart your course through high school will shape your future. And there's no better way to prepare for your adult life than by dreaming and planning now. Here are three practical steps you can take. Talk to people in your community and learn from the wisdom of those who are doing things you are interested in. Second, explore your options. What are your strengths? What are your gifts? Make a list of your dreams and then brainstorm ways to achieve them. And third, formulate a plan. Your parents and your facilitator will help you put together a good plan for your high school years. There are always resources available to help you achieve your goals. Visit our website at www.wisdomhomeschooling.com or call 780-741-2113. God bless you as you chart your course.
Like, I am so grateful for my parents and, like, taking that huge step and fighting with me all those years to, like, accept it.
And you don't want to lose that time with your family.
I think our teenagers need us even more than our little kids.
And I'm very grateful that we didn't do it different.
To be the person he was created to be and to do the things he was born to do.
If the Lord calls you to it, he will lead you through it.